Thank you very much for inviting me to come along. It's lovely to be with you all this evening. So we'll just read our passage, as it were, for this evening in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 40. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng me and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him, before all the people, for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. It's if you'll just excuse me, just to mention a few things about the chapter on the whole. I gather you've been tracing through the book of Luke, and after Peter spoke to me to come to speak to you, as would be expected, I commenced at chapter 1 and started reading again the book of Luke for myself. And it's interesting when you get to this chapter in itself, that there is a few mentions of women. We see it starts the first chapter, which I'm sure you've covered in the first verse of this chapter, and it talks about several women there. And then we come and we read about the mother of Jesus trying to get through to him earlier on in the chapter. And again, at this point here, we have two more references to two more women and a girl, as it were, a woman and a girl. It's a very encouraging chapter, I suppose, if you to look at it that way, if you are a woman. It shows the great importance that they had to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to look through the reading we have here. And I've kind of divided it into four sections myself. First of all, in verse 40, I titled this, The Return of Jesus Christ. The saints always like their alliteration, and it's quite a common thing to say that practice makes perfect. Well, this is my practice. That's my first R for the evening. The Return of Jesus Christ. In verse 41 to 42, I've entitled this, The Request of the Ruler. We come down and then we see in verse 43 and 44, we have the recovery of the illness. And in the closing verses of our section 45 to 48, the recognition of faith. The Lord Jesus Christ recognizes the woman's faith. So we'll take a look, first of all, at our first section, as it were, in verse 40. The thing that struck me most as I was reading through the passage was the contrast that you see as the Lord returns to this side of Galilee. In the previous verses, the Gadarenes, they were up against him. And as he comes across onto this side of the shore of Galilee, he is now welcomed, and we read, it is gladly. The words, not playing too heavily on them, it's quite nice to read when you see that it's when Jesus was returned that people gladly received him. It's when he returned that they gladly received him. I quite like this, the way that it, the Authorized Version puts this. It kind of gives this impression that the gathering, the multitude that were there, they were kind of just waiting around. But when they saw him coming, he brought, as it were, a joy to them. Now, I mean, there's many ideas as to why the multitude, I suppose, may be gathered, but I like to take it that it's fair to say that a lot of them were there because they were interested in seeing the signs and miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ could carry out. And it's interesting to see as you come further down that if this is the case, they almost missed the miracle because of the crowd, because of the desperation to get near to him. The challenge that came to me as I was reading through this first verse is we see here that they were all waiting for him. And it brings to yourself, as it were, and to myself, are we waiting for him? Are we truly, each moment of our life, each minute as it were, each second, are we living our life as God would want us to live, knowing that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, may return at any moment? Now Mark tells us, in the Gospel of Mark it's recorded about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the Master may return. Do we live with this thought in our minds, in our hearts? Or could the Lord return when we were doing something that we'd rather he didn't see? It's a little challenge that I'd like to put forth to you tonight. And it's a difficult one. It's ever so easy to be overtaken, as it were, by the flesh and our willingness to go and do things that we once used to do. But if we rely truly on God, and we come to him, and we spend our time with him as we should each day, in prayer and through reading his word, he can give us the strength. As we watch, as we pray, ready for the Master's return. You know, these people we see are gathered together for what it might be called his fame, the Lord Jesus Christ's fame. If we look back into the chapter, not to cover too much ground that's maybe been covered, but we sort of see this in verses 1 and 4. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. From this multitude gathers. These are the people, as it were, that he's been through the cities and he's been in touch with, and they're here now gathered at the shore, ready to hear and to see him themselves. His fame has started to spread. It could be said, I suppose, not that we should have our own multitude of people following us, but that those we have a general acquaintance with, we meet with, on a regular basis at work, our friends, college, university, the places we go, are they aware of our willingness and our Christian faith? The people here that he's been to all these villages, Christ, as an example for us, has made a proclamation to them about himself. and it's fair to say that wherever we go, we too should do the same for him. So it's quite interesting in this first verse, to see the contrast, as it were, against the Gadarenes from the previous verses. I want to have a look just briefly at our next section, the request of the ruler. I don't want to cover too much for the brother who's got the next part of the section, but just to cover a few points that we have here in these verses about Jairus. The multitude would have seen, as it were, Jairus heading down to the Lord as he came back across to this side of the shore. Jairus, as we are more than aware of, was a ruler of the synagogue. He was quite high up, and it's quite fair to say that the multitude there, many of them would have recognized who he was just by his apparel or by his face. And it's quite fair to say that some of them would have noticed his intention as he moved towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this was a big step for Jairus, as it may have been. There was a lot of discussions and debates at this time of who the Lord Jesus Christ really was among the rulers, as it were, of the synagogue and those of higher places. And for Jairus, in his position, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ took a big step. But to him it was important. This was his only daughter. His daughter who meant so much to him. It's an amazing humility that the Jairus prays here. We read of him as a ruler. And then we read of him at the feet of Jesus. A ruler who normally the word could be referred to as king or someone of a like position. And normally someone who would have people come to them to bow down. And to come to them to ask these questions and to ask things of them. But here we see a Jairus at the feet of Jesus. It demonstrates for us that no matter who you are, no matter your position, no matter your job, that we all have this common thing between us all, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of us to bow down to him. We often sing on a Sunday morning that worthy art thou, O Lamb of God, that every knee to thee should bow. That every knee to thee. And we see this here, Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue. Such a sign of humility. There's a strong word we read in there with this idea of besought. Jairus comes to him, comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he besoughts him. It's an idea, as Vines likes to put it, of calling to one's aid. Jairus had come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got this problem, and he calls on the aid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jairus, by all means, could have had an access to the same physicians that we read later on in this section. He could have been to all of these people and had the respect from them because of his position. And there's nothing to say that he hadn't already been there. And I would suggest to you this evening that he has already gone down that route, and he has now turned, as it were, to the Lord Jesus Christ, acknowledging that there's nothing himself he can do anymore. And this brings us, as it were, to that conviction of sin. We too can look back to a time, if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we come to this stage where there's nothing we can do but fully rely on Jesus. And we see that a few times in this passage, as well later when we see this woman with the illness of the blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to come unto him, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, he will give you rest. And Jairus is given this rest. His response, as it were, from the Lord Jesus Christ is interrupted it may seem, through this woman that touches his garment. But when it comes to it, later in the chapter, Jairus is given this rest. He said many things about the 12 years of the daughter, in contrast to the 12 years of the illness that this woman has of the blood. And most of the commentaries that you seem to read up on like to link it to the nations of Israel, the 12 nations of Israel. And you can look at the dying state, the spiritual state that they were in as they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of commentators like to link the 12 years back to that. It certainly is interesting to note, though, that here we have this daughter who has had 12 years of life, and then we read of this woman who's had 12 years of death, both of them requiring the help from the Lord Jesus Christ, both of them coming to God. The multitude, as we read, they came unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and the AV uses this word, thronged him. They were crowded round about him. I don't know how many of you have maybe been down to London and been on the tubes and the subway at the busy times. I studied for 3 years there, and at going home time, as it were, there's a rush to get through the doors of the tubes. And you're down, you can be down many feet below the surface of the roads, and it's hot, and there's a rush, and it's very easy to feel claustrophobic, and to feel faint and weary in a situation like that. And you get this same kind of idea from the words that are used here. It's a very strong sense. Again, Levine tells us this idea of choking so as to a suffocation. It's the same word used to throng him. The crowd were desperate to get near to him. How desperate are we to get to know the Word of God? How desperate are we to get near him through reading his Word, through learning more about him? The crowd waited patiently for him, and when he was there, they were desperate to get to him, so much that the Lord Jesus Christ was surrounded, and those that were with him. You know, as I was reading through this, I was thinking in to myself about one of the verses, which is very nice in Psalms, and it reads, "But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. It is good for me to draw near to God." You know, we should be intent in our daily life to draw near to him, so that we may know more of his plans and his wills for us in our lives, and we may be able to carry out more of what he would have us to do. And again, it is through coming close to him, speaking to him, communicating with him, and through reading his word. The greatest thing we have, his living word. I want to have a look then at this illness that the woman has. And I want to go through these verses as we come down to see it. Here this woman, we're told here that she's had this illness since for the last 12 years. We're not told her age, but she's had this illness for 12 years. And no doubt, as we read, she's tried to go everywhere she can to get this illness cured. As I was coming home from work tonight, I kindly offered my line manager a lift to town. Always does the office some good politics when you offer your manager a lift. And he was telling me about his son. They're both keen cyclists. And his son had come off his bike, and his leg had slipped down the chain of his bike. And it had cut open the back of his leg. And he was telling me how, as he came up to his son, when he noticed it was quite serious, he ran to him, picked him up, took him straight to the hospital, as it were, in Stonehaven, and they sent him on to Aberdeen. There was something in him that led him to instantly react to what was in front of him to get his son better. And we see that in Jairus with his daughter, and we see that here with a woman. She's gone around everyone she can to get better, and it's a natural reaction to do that. The illness she has is back in the law and is classified as an unclean illness. We read it in the book of Leviticus, and we're told all about the cleansing and the requirements of somebody that's got this illness. If somebody was to have this illness, she wasn't permitted to touch anybody. Otherwise they would be unclean and would need to wash, and they would be unclean for a period of time. So for her to be within this multitude was against the law. But she was desperate to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was dependent upon him. You know, the illness we read, Mark even goes to the extent of hinting that as she went to more physicians and to more doctors, that her illness grew worse. And it's a picture of sin as it slowly continues to creep in and to devour us, as it were, and to cause us to do things that maybe we wouldn't want to do, and to lead us the way it wants us to go. And it's a picture of sin and how it can just take over the whole body. And there's so many people in this world as it stands today, and they're just consumed by the sin of the world. Alcohol, drugs, murder. There's many examples, and they're just consumed by the sin and by these fleshly things that they get themselves into, and they've got no way they can get out. Well, she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, having spent all her money, everything she's got. She's now fully 100% reliant on her faith that if she just touches his garment, then she will be healed of her illness. It's lovely to think, as you look through the words they use for this garment, this border of the garment, it relates to tassels. And the tassels were placed, you read it, back in Numbers, in chapter 15, and the tassels were placed on the garments as a remembrance for keeping the commandments. There's such a beautiful picture. This woman is stretching forth to touch the Lord's garment that she might be saved from her illness. And we read, as the crowd continues to throng him, she reaches forth and she just touches his garment, and she's healed immediately. Now this is a miracle in itself. Unfortunately, the day I came to a point which was more reality than I hoped it to be as I was taking on this subject. Often as the winter sets in, I'm still a southerner, a Londoner as it were. I'm not quite used to the cold still. And my nose decided it was too cold for it. And the signs of blood came from it. Gory, I know, but it emphasizes the point. It didn't stop straight away. It took a time. It took a while before it was caught. But here we read for the woman the issue of 12 years of her blood hemorrhaging was stanched immediately. It stopped completely. And we see the power of God and the power here over creation. As always, Peter's at the forefront. We see once again. The Lord Jesus Christ asks this question, who touched me? And I'm sure even if we were there ourselves, we would think this is a rather strange question. Now, I don't think in any way we can suggest that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't already know who had touched him, but he uses this to draw attention to this woman. The crowd had gathered for this miracle, and they missed it. They were so intent to get near him. And the miracle has taken place right in front of them. So the Lord turns around, as it were, and he sees this woman. I love the way she comes up from behind. It gives this lovely idea of following him. Maybe something more suited to the events that would follow after, but she came behind him and followed him, that she may touch his garment. The faith was already there. It wasn't a touch, I would like to suggest, that healed her. It was a faith. And I think we see that later as the Lord says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." But the faith led her to touch him and to have this, as it were, proof and evidence that she had come to know him and to understand who he was and what he was capable of. One of the books I was reading, kindly given to me by my grandfather-in-law, written by an Ivor Powell, and it's called Luke's Thrilling Gospel. It's a nice book, and I would suggest if you get an opportunity to read through it, he has some lovely thoughts. One of the things he brings up in this situation is quite interesting. He turns it on its head and he says, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ here is doing a favour, as it were, for this woman by making her known to the crowd. Because if the crowd had noticed at a later stage that she was amongst them, knowing that she had this illness, then she had broken, as it were, the laws and the rules that were set forth before for somebody with this type of illness. But by Jesus bringing her forth in front of the multitude, and as it were, showing to them that she had been healed from this illness, she was therefore no longer able to be under scrutiny for being amongst the multitude. For she had been healed. And this is a witness here to the multitude of her faith. And this, I'd like to suggest in some way, because maybe out of context, I'm sure they'll tell me afterwards, could be linked to baptism, I'd like to suggest. We see her faith internal in herself, and then it is proclaimed to many. And it is important for ourselves that as we speak to those about salvation, that they understand the importance of the next steps to follow. Once they are saved, to follow in Christ's command, to make it known to others, and to be a testimony for him. There's no point being a closet Christian, but to be out there for him, making it known to others what the wonderful love and the care and the joy he has shown to us. So the Lord comes to his closing points, and we'll come now just to see this as his recognition of the faith. He shows them to the people, and it's beautiful how he calms this woman's fears. She's come to him trembling, and he simply says to her, "Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." She's come trembling, and he sends her away with peace, joy, and a comfort in the knowledge that she had not only her illness healed, but by no means as well her sin has been paid. My brother mentioned the price being paid by the Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer. And it's an important thing that each week, as we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, that we emphasize the price that was paid on the cross. This was nothing easy for the Lord Jesus Christ to go through. And he paid a great price that we could have our sins removed. And this woman comes to this acknowledgement now. And it's a beautiful thing that she can come to the Lord Jesus Christ, a dying woman, and to leave with not just her illness stanched, her blood stopped, but an acknowledgement that she has a home in heaven. You know, it's quite sad when you think about it though, as you come to this point for Jairus. I don't want to touch too much on the verses below, but this delay as it may come about, as this woman is healed, you see in the next verses, the daughter is proclaimed dead. But the joy that comes from that, I do not want to tread on that ground. But what a beautiful few verses as we look through two separate people, desperate for the help of the Lord. And when they come to him, the Lord gives them exactly what they came for. Nothing less. He gives them exactly all that they would require. And this woman is healed, and her salvation is shown to many. And from here she can go on clean and knowing she has this joy in her heart. It's a challenging passage, and as we think about it, the largest challenge I think for myself and I'd like to put to you is that as we read through these verses, it's all about coming to the Lord Jesus. It's all about drawing near to him, spending time with him, asking things from him. And I just pray as we continue to live out our lives for Christ, keeping acknowledgement that he may return at any time, that we may be able to look back and see those days that we have gone on for him and carried out the work that he would have, remembering in ourselves that Christ is coming back. He is coming, as it were, as we see here, back across Galilee. He's coming back from his home in heaven for us. May the Lord bless you as we remember these thoughts. Shall we just commend with a word of prayer? Our gracious God, we give you thanks for the time we've been able to spend this evening in prayer. We thank you that we can come before thee, an almighty God and our great Creator. We thank thee that the veil is rent in twain, and we can come unto thee through thy precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee thanks for this access we have to come before thee. And so, our Father, as we have remembered many individuals this evening, we just pray for each and every one of those mentioned and those which are under tribulations and trials. We pray that thou mayest just strengthen them, guide them and keep them, that they too may continue to be a great testimony for thee. We pray once again for this assembly here at Fernley, and we just pray for each and every soul within it. And we pray for the witness and the testimony as they carry out these many outreaches to younger and older alike. And we pray for a great rejoicing as we hear of many coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, our Father, for this time we've been able to spend pondering upon thy word, we give thee thanks for it. A great living word, the greatest book we can own. And we thank thee that we can have this opportunity to go through it. And we just pray that thou mayest help us to understand it, that it may encourage us to live our lives more fruitful for thee. And our Father, as we look to the imminent return of our blessed Saviour and dear Lord, we just pray that thou mayest help to keep us steadfast for thee. And so, Father, we give thee thanks, asking these things in thy Son's most precious name.